Managing money doesn't look exactly the same for everyone. The way you manage money and the way I manage money are going to be different. Our situations are different. So today I wanted to share with you how I manage our household's finances. So that way you get a sneak peek, flaws and all, on what it looks like for us. And again, it may be different for you, and that's okay. But maybe there's something in today's episode I really hope that you can take away from and implement today. You are listening to Her Dinero Matters, the podcast helping Latinas have increased confidence and control over their finances. My name is Jen Hempel, and as an accredited financial counselor, my mission is to help you be more confident and simplify your finances so you can save more, get out of debt quicker, and build your wealth. When it comes to managing money, I know people are looking for the how-tos, the step one, step two, step three, but everything is a little different for everyone. Personal finances, as I always say, is personal and unique. You even, depending on the season of your life, it may look different. So when it comes to managing finances, some of the things may be similar, you know, like we all need a budget, which is just simply a plan, and how we do it and the approach and how we implement our plan, which is our budget, it may be different. So that's why I wanted to take some time out today and share exactly how I manage our household finances. So that way you get a feel for what it looks like for us, what works, what doesn't work, what we need to work on, because spoiler alert, it's not perfect. We make mistakes. Before I get into it, as you hear this process or how we manage our finances, I wanted to preface with this has taken a while to get to this point, to a point where we feel at ease, to a point where we feel comfortable. So it has taken a while to get here. So how I'm doing it, you can, you know, depending on where you are at, doesn't mean you have to do it exactly alike. But I just want you to see, you know, get a sneak peek of what it looks like for us. But I just wanted to preface that. And plus, you know, we've gotten to a point where we do feel financially secure or feel comfortable, where we are more confident with our finances, with our financial situation, with many things that come our way. But that doesn't mean we always feel this way, right? That doesn't mean that we always feel financially secure, because there have been moments in our lives, think aging parents, where we've had some surprises, some things that we didn't expect. Remember, life can come at us with surprises and challenges and unknowns at any moment's notice. And so in those times, that does challenge us. We don't have it figured it out completely, but we, after working at this for a while, I think we're in a good place. But it is still a work in progress. How exactly do we manage our household finances? Well, the budget does serve as a basis. That's number one. I don't care if people say they don't use a budget. You have to have a budget. It's simply a plan. It may not look like you and I may think of a budget, but a budget is simply a plan of saying, this is how our money is going to be used this month. Everyone has it. Maybe some people don't necessarily use it because I've already implemented it. We do use the budget as a basis. It serves as a plan, as I mentioned, but we have to execute that plan. And how we execute that plan is with setting up automated bill pay or automated transfers or opening up separate accounts that serves different purposes. So I'm going to go get into it. But we do keep our budget super simple. We keep the category, the general categories, really simple, and they really reflect our accounts. So our budget is our plan, our accounts, it helps to implement or execute our plan. Our accounts are part of our system, if you will. So that's number one, we use a budget as a basis. Number two, to execute our plan, we establish several bank accounts. We have one that literally serves as the billing account. So our income goes in there and our bills are paid out. That is all basically what it's for. It's the billing, where we pay the bills from. And then from there, we also transfer money for our other accounts that I'm going to talk about in a moment. But the billing account really serves us for the money coming in and the main bills, really the bills coming out. Then we have an account for daily spending. The billing account, we don't use a debit card for it. That debit card is cut up. We don't get new debit cards. It just serves for that purpose that I said. That's the billing account. Then we've got our daily spending account. That's where the only account where we have a debit card. And the daily spending is what it is, daily spending. Sometimes maybe not daily, other times, yes. Yeah, so that's the groceries, that's the gas. Those are those things that we need on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. That's the daily spending. And how money is in there, we take it. There's a twice a month. I have an automated transfer from the billing account because that's where the income comes, right? And that is reflected also in our budget, right? So from the billing account, automated transfer to the daily spending accounts for the things that we need, groceries, gas, those type of things. All right, that's the second account. The third account is just occasional expenses. So those are those expenses that don't come on a monthly basis that may vary in terms of the dollar amount. So it could be an annual bill, it could be gifts, it could be clothing, it could be those type of things. So we, again, from the billing account, an automated transfer goes to the occasional account, if you will, to be able to just save. So when an occasional expense, a gift, or we need to buy some clothes or some shoe, we can take out from that account. And usually for those side accounts, I just use the credit card and we take the money from those accounts to pay for the credit card. The daily spending, the intention is really just to keep us accountable and make sure that we stay in the parameters that we set for us for our groceries and eating out. I can't say that we stick to that. Yes, we use the credit card, and I'll talk about that later. That's where the flaws come in this, because you may do it better than we do. We talked about the billing, the daily spending, the occasional account. The occasional account, I call it that because that's what makes sense to me. Other people may call it discretionary spending. There's different names that people call it, but for me, I just call it occasional expenses because that's what computes with my brain. So you can call it whatever that may be, but it is for the different things that don't come on a monthly basis that are occasional. And see, it just makes sense for me. It computes. So you have to do what better computes with your brain. We do have a separate emergency funds, and that is in high yield savings. And then we've got financial goals, high yield savings. So that's the travel. We try to always save for the next car, big purchases, those type of things. So those are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are the five main areas. And full disclosure, for some of these things, I like to have a separate account just to see when it comes to like travel. I just don't like to do the math. I just like to see what's in her travel account versus just having one account for the financial goals. But that is just me, right? For some other people, that's just too much. And so those are the five main areas or accounts, if you will, how we execute our budget, how we execute that plan, all right? And after establishing those accounts that you deem necessary, what we do, I set up automatic bill pay for virtually everything. There's one thing that I don't do automated bill pay, and that's the credit card. And the reason why is with the credit card, I like to make sure, one, the charges are the ones that we made. And I want to be more in control of that versus them taking a big chunk every single month. And then two, because with the credit card, sometimes we have to make returns or those type of things. I just like to make sure that if there's a return for $100, I don't pay that $100 to the credit card. I subtract that $100 that I know is going to be a return or that I've already made the return for from that balance. And we do pay the credit card in full every single month. And sometimes it's painful. I will say that. That's number three. So number one, we set the budget as a basis for our plan to execute our plan. Part of the execution is creating or establishing those bank accounts that reflects our budget. You will see in our budget billing, daily spending. You'll see the financial goals, all that. Number three, we do set automatic bill pay for everything. I don't accept for that credit card, and I'd share with you why. And then number four, I do use, in quotations, I do use sparingly, how do you say, an app, and I pay for that app because it really is a good tool to see how much you're spending on food, and it just automated. It really has tags, or it just automatically does that versus me looking into our transactions and figuring out which one's food or which one's eating out, which one, you know, doing all that math. It does it very seamlessly and nicely. But I don't tend to even open up the app. And that's an area for improvement. And that is a flaw, because if I actually opened it up and looked at the app, then maybe we would do better in the eating out area and maybe lessening some of the credit card charges. I wanted to share that. So it would help if I were to use it. It's a great tool. It's simple money. I'll link it up in the show notes. But again, if we were to use it more, granted, again, this is my flaw, it would help us minimizing eating out, making sure, just keeping accountable as to how often we use the credit card. And really, what we do have to our advantage that others may not have, but we are fortunate and we have that to our advantage, is that we do have a buffer. When other, like, let's say there's financial experts talking about, hey, they don't use a budget, they just say set everything on automation and they don't have to worry about it, life is all dandy, they still make mistakes, they still may overspend. But the advantage that they have is they have extra income that they don't need, right? Disposable income, if you will. We have that buffer, maybe not like some other financial experts, but we are able to have that buffer that helps us, that if we go over, we're okay. So full disclosure with that. So if others, like financial experts, are out there telling you, hey, I don't use a budget, I do this A, B, and C, and they're not perfect, they're making mistakes, they just might be financially in a better position. I'm sharing this, and why I'm sharing this is because even though I'm telling you, yes, sometimes we overspend in eating out, sometimes we go a little overboard with the credit card, but we're able to make things work. I don't want to say that out. I mean, it is a privilege, if you will, because we have worked to the point where financially we're secure. But I didn't want to say that and have you say, well, she does it. She's overspending in eating out, or she's using the credit card a little too often. I'm not saying for you to do that. Your situation may be different. And by doing that, it might put you, depending on your situation and your season in life, it might put you in a financial bind. So I just want to be very transparent as to our flaws and what we do, but I want to also recognize that we're fortunate. If others that maybe are not in that financial situation, or maybe they're living paycheck to paycheck, or sometimes it's hard to make things ends meet, doing this, and I'm not saying we're doing extravagantly, I need to say that too, but going over in some of these things can put them in a financial bind. So hopefully that makes sense. Number five is I do reconcile. I take some time to reconcile our finances and just make sure that what I'm seeing in the accounts is what's happening, and I want to make sure. And the reason why I do that, I do this twice a month, take some quick time to do it. And I should in that time open up the app, right? But oh my goodness, I'm trying. But anyway, so I do reconcile it just because I want to know, especially when the bills are coming out. Sometimes there are some surprises that come out in the billing account that I forget about. And I want to make sure that if these transactions are coming and what's pending, that there's enough. Because there have been times that life has gotten busy and there has been the overdrawn when there's not enough money in the account, because I don't keep a cushion in that billing account. But I do have it connected, because with your bank, you should be able to connect a certain another account in case of that. So that way that you don't get charged for overdrawing your account. So we have it connected to a buffer account. So if something happens, it comes out of that account. We're not assessed a fee. All right. So I do that to try to avoid that. So that way that money stays in there, because I am human and sometimes I do forget of some things and life happens and I'm like, why is this at zero? Then I do some digging. But so I try to make sure that I reconcile twice a month. But sometimes even when I do that, I forget about some things that are coming out. Life is never, it's so different from day to day. And it can be crazy. Now, what can we be doing better? So I showed you those five things that we do to manage our money. What can we be doing better? I've already shared with you tracking better, eating out. And again, it's just by taking some time and getting in the habit of opening up that app. But again, we've just been fortunate because of the cushion that we have. But we do need to be more mindful, because if we go over more than we have been, we could jeopardize what we're doing. So that is something we definitely could be doing better. Another thing that I wanted to share, I don't take a lot of time. Life is really busy. So I do reconcile the accounts, and that's probably why I don't open up the app, because life is super busy. But before, I used to take a lot of time. It was twice a month. I would sit down. I would go, besides reconciling, I would just really take a dive in our finances. I don't have time for that anymore. But we're at a stage where we've got systems implemented. Things are working. So it hasn't been this way all the time. Because when you first start your financial journey, because you're first starting and you haven't implemented any systems, or maybe you're trying to get a grasp as to what's going on with your money, where your expenses are, it's going to take more time naturally. But as time goes and you implement systems, you've created the budget, you've executed, and again, you implement these systems, it gets easier and you don't have to spend as much time with your money. But then you have some life happenings and then you have to reassess and be flexible and all that. But I just wanted to share that for now. Right now, it doesn't take a lot of time, in case you were wondering, to manage our money. Before, it did. And it took a lot of time. So you might be in that, depending on what stage of your money, stage of budgeting you are in, you may be taking a little more time. The other thing that I wanted to share here is that, as you heard, we do have some flaws, some things that we could do better. It's not perfect whatsoever. And I wanted to share that because I've been doing this for a long time. And even though I've been doing this, helping others and doing this and for our finances, it doesn't mean that it's perfect, nor will it ever be perfect. And as I hinted earlier, and I mentioned, there will be these stages of life, of money, that you'll go through, and you just have to understand where you're at in that current season of life. You may be starting out and trying to figure out your finances. You may be restarting, hitting the reset button, because maybe you've had a huge change in your life. You may have been at it for a while, or maybe are frustrated, but maybe there's not enough clarity with your finances. Depending what that is, that determines how much time you're going to need with your finances. If you're in the early stages, or if you're resetting, having a reset in your life, you're going to have to spend more time on your finances. But if you've been plugging along and you've been implementing your system and things are working, you're going to see that it doesn't take as much time. Now, if you want to learn more about these stages, I have an episode, is episode 251, that you can give that a listen, and hopefully that I go into more depth in terms of the stages, what that looks like, so that way you can assess where you're at. So I hope that helped. I hope that gave you some insight, gave you a sneak peek as to how I do my finances. And I hope that by sharing this, it just gave you a light bulb moment. Maybe you took away something that you can implement, or maybe you took away something that confirmed that you're okay, right? That you don't have to have all the things figured out. It could be anything. Hopefully you had some sort of aha moment from this episode. One thing that I wanted to say too is that you don't, with this, as you go on your journey. You don't want to ever strive for perfection because it does not exist, but rather you want to strive to improving a notch or two, right? To just kind of building on what you already did, a notch, a level up, maybe two, in celebrating that before you continue to build another level or another notch. And always remember that it's a journey. This is all a journey. And a journey, it never ends. It keeps going. But as we go, we keep growing, we keep learning, we keep implementing. One thing that I haven't asked in a while is for you to share your money wins. So there will be a link in the show notes as to how you can do that. Share your money wins, what you've accomplished, big or small, and we would love to highlight you on this podcast. And also don't forget that next week we are celebrating episode 400. So if you want to celebrate with us, share something that you are grateful for this podcast, maybe something that you learned, maybe it was a guest that you really love, a specific episode, whatever it is. If this podcast has made a difference for you in the past, going on, goodness, 9 years. I think I said 8 years last week, but going on 9 years, we would love to hear it. So that link is also in the show notes. Next week, as already alluded to, we're going to be celebrating 400 episodes. And so what I'm going to be doing next week is I'm going to be doing some reflection as to what I have learned throughout these episodes from our guests and just from doing these episodes, because I have learned a ton. This has been really an incredible journey for these past, I'm just still in awe, almost nine years, 400 episodes. That is just absolutely nuts. So that's going to be next week. Bueno, pues that is everything. Thank you so much for being here. I know you've had a lot of podcasts to choose from, but you chose Her Dinero Matters. Make sure you check out the show notes over at jenhemphill.com/399. That is jenhemphill.com/399. Remember that being the reina of your money starts now simply by claiming it. I believe in you, and so should you. Nos hablaremos el próximo jueves. Chao.